Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Southern Gospel Conversations podcast. I'm your host, Nicholas Wilkie, and today we have a talented singer and a great young man and friend with me on the show. His name is Matthew Benton. Matthew, how are you, buddy?
Man, I'm doing better now. A talented singer and young, great man. That's a good intro. I like that. I have to give you a little extra on that one. But I'm doing good, man. How are you?
Man, I'm good. I'm glad to have you on. Looking forward to it.
Man, I'm excited to be here. I thank you for inviting me on.
Yeah, man. Hey, to get started, why don't you introduce yourself? Tell me who you are and maybe about your family and where you live and all that stuff.
Okay, yeah. So, like Nicholas said, my name's Matthew Benton. I'm a talented young singer, as Nicholas said, and a great young man, as Nicholas said. No,
You're
but
crazy.
I live up in a town called South Hill, Virginia. Been there for a little over 4 years now. My dad pastors a church up there, the Bethel Baptist Church. And when I'm home, I'm helping him and with the lawn care, just whatever around the church. And Wednesday night, I'll lead the singing if we're in town, and just trying to be a help to my mom and dad up there. The Lord's really blessing that church, and we're thankful for that. Was originally born in Georgia, kind of north of Atlanta. My dad was pastoring a church down there for about 13 years, and I'm a Georgia peach, and but been a little bit everywhere. Went to North Carolina, then Tennessee, and now we're in Virginia. But yeah, that's me. I sing lead for the Pine Ridge Boys. Been singing lead for them a little over 3 years now. Joined in August 2022, and it's been a great 3 years. I've really looked forward to being able to grow, and you know, having someone like Larry to mentor you, and it's been an experience. So.
Somebody like Larry to mentor you? I'm just kidding.
Yeah, well, I know he's probably going to be listening to this, so I got to say something, at least one thing nice about him.
Yeah, one thing nice, yeah. No, I love Larry. Great guy, for sure. Hey, man, let's go back many years ago now. Tell me how you became a fan of gospel music before you actually started singing, because I know you probably became a fan of it before you actually started singing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We grew up listening to gospel music, the Inspirations, the Perrys, Kingdom Heirs, all these groups my mom and dad would listen to a ton. We didn't really go to concerts as much, but we were always listening to the music and the songs. And my sister, this has been years ago, but my sister was diagnosed with leukemia, and she went through that for about 2.5 years, and the Lord healed her, and we're very thankful for that. And at that point in time, Morgan, my sister Morgan, she loved to be able to, you know, go to theme parks or maybe just go to these different things that, with her white blood count being so low, she wasn't allowed to be around groups of people, large groups of people. And so when she went into remission, her first thing she wanted to do was to go to Dollywood. And we had never been to Dollywood before then. We always went to Pigeon Forge every year for a vacation, but we never went to Dollywood. And so we decided to go for Morgan and kind of celebrate that. And I remember when we walked in the front gate there at the Show Street Palace, there on the sign, it said, you know, the Kingdom Heirs are singing. And this is back in 2013. And my dad's always loved the Kingdom Heirs. He's always listened to them, always loved them. And dad said, you know what? We're going to go to one show today. I don't want to miss that. We're going to go to one show. And I remember thinking, oh my goodness, this is a waste of time. I there's so many other things you could do. You could be riding the rides. You could be doing this and that. I don't want to go to a show and basically, you know, quote unquote, waste my time. But dad's like, no, we're going to go. We're going to go. So we went to a show, and I believe it was just a little bit after the Redeeming the Time CD came out. So it might have been 2014. But they sang songs. I remember they came out there and they sang songs like I Know I'm Home and Sermon on the Mount and He Locked the Gates. They even sang that and Forever Changed. And I remember just sitting there at that age. You know, I was at that point in time, I was 12 or 13. And I don't know, it just felt like a switch flipped in me. Something in me just hearing the Kingdom Air stand up there and sing. And man, I left there that day, and that's all I wanted to do. Like, I wanted to sing in a quartet. Like, I was ate
Yep.
up with it. And I could not sing at all. There was no way. I could not sing. But I really, really applied myself and knew that, because I'm a very hard-headed person at times. And once I get my mind on something, I'm about to do everything I can to get it. And I wanted to sing for a quartet so bad. So that's really how it all started there at the very, very beginning. So there at Dollywood in the Show Street Palace.
That's awesome, man. I have a fairly similar story to you as how as far as how I got into gospel music myself. Groups had come to my church years ago, like the Dove Brothers and stuff.
Yeah.
But it wasn't until the end of 2012, I believe it was, that I saw the Kingdom Airs as well at Dollywood. And that's how I fell in love with the gospel music as well. So you and I have a fairly similar story.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. I never knew that. That's really neat.
Yep. Kingdom Airs is how I got into it as well. So, tell us your history in gospel music. I know you've been with a couple groups. Tell us your history in gospel music.
Okay, yeah. So, a little after, well, a little bit before 2020, kind of before COVID, we had moved up to Tennessee. My dad was pastoring church up there in East Tennessee in Newport, Tennessee. And I had started a job there at Wonderworks in Pigeon Forge, the upside down White House there. And a guy that I was going to church with at the time, he's like, "Man, you need to come work with me." So I really didn't have a job at that point, and I said, "Yeah, I'll come over and I'll do it." And went there, started working there, and I really look back, and the Lord's hands and his fingerprints were all over this, and it's just amazing to talk about it. But a guy who trained me at the job, his name was Christian. I still talk to him this day. Christian and I became really close. He was the bass player at his church there in Sevierville, and he was trying to get his studio in his basement kind of up and going. Wanted to get a couple clients and stuff, and we had talked, and he said, "Man, I think you need to come out with a solo CD. I think you need to come out with a solo CD." And I didn't know how much that was going to cost. I was like, "Nah, I don't know. I don't know. That might be too much." He said, "Man, I'll work with you around it, and it'll be great. I really think you should make one." So I thought about it for a while, and I end up deciding to go and make one with his through his studio there in Sevierville, and came out with just picked some songs and recorded them, put them out there, and ended up putting it on streaming. And one day I was out. This has probably been a year after the CD came out. I was out trout fishing in Martinsville, Virginia, with my dad, and I got a random Facebook Messenger request from a guy named Drew Laney,
Oh, yeah.
and he said, "Hey, I know you have no idea who I am, but I sing for a group called Molded Clay, and we're looking for a baritone singer. And I heard, just so happened to hear your solo CD on Spotify, and thought I'd reach out." And so I never had heard of Drew, never heard of Molded Clay or anything like that. But I knew that's always been the goal, travel for a quartet. So I looked them up, and they were from Rock Hill, South Carolina, and I knew I was gonna be a little bit of a drive, but man, I was just ate up with it. I wanted to go, I wanted to do it. And so I drove down to Charlotte where they were singing and tried out for them. And the lead singer there, he said, "Well, yeah, we'll give you a call, if something opens up, or we'll give you a call later on." I said, "Oh, okay." So I went back to the house just kind of feeling like kind of defeated or whatever. And that was on Sunday. And on Thursday, the lead singer calls me. He's like, "Hey, man, our baritone that was kind of leaving or whatever, he's for sure gone. And we need you to come and sing Saturday night. And we need you to learn all these songs." And so I was just excited to do it. So I had all these songs I had to learn in 2 days. and we ended up singing there in Rock Hill Saturday night. And the very first time we sang with the Lohr family. And that was in February of 22. And so yeah, me and Drew and the tenor and the lead singer, we traveled together for several months. I think about like 7 or 8 months. And I went from singing baritone to one day just got on the bus and the tenor's like, "Man, I just can't do it. We need you to sing tenor now." And I was kind of a little bit hesitant about it, but their stuff was keyed lower. So I sang tenor for the last couple months I was there. Then my voice teacher, Jerry Martin, I had talked to Jerry a lot, and Jerry knew my heart, and he knew that I was really looking for something, a bigger opportunity. I was looking for something that I can go and sing baritone or sing lead at. Not, I didn't, I wanted to get away from singing tenor. I wanted to be more in my comfort zone. And I talked to Jerry for a long time about that. And at that time, that's when the Kingsmen started to talk to Drew a little bit. And they were in the beginning of that. And so I knew that if Drew left, then I did not want to stay because me and Drew were tight and, it wouldn't be the same. And one day we were doing our lessons, whatever. And he's like, "Hey, I don't know if you've ever heard, but the Pine Ridge Boys, they are looking for a lead singer. And I think they're looking for a baritone singer." I said, "Okay, I'll look them up and give them a call." And so I looked them up. And I was like, "This might be a great opportunity to go sing lead." I've heard a little bit about the Pine Ridge Boys, not much at that time. And so I sent Larry a message and asked if they had anybody already. And he said, "No, send your stuff to this email." And so I sent it up and met with them that next Saturday. And at that time, Jackson had already joined the group. And it was kind of funny. It's a funny story. Jackson reached out to me and he's like, "Hey, man, looking forward to possibly working with you." And I had no idea he had joined the group. I knew him as like a soloist, and that was it. And I said, "Oh, okay." I said, "Are we doing an event with you or whatever?" Because I thought about talking about like Mold of Clay or whatever. And he said, "No, I'm the new lead singer for the Pine Ridge Boys." I said, "Oh, okay, nice." And I said, "I know that I was potentially going to try out for the lead position, but I said I can still, sing baritone. It's no problem." And then we went and tried out, and long story short, I got the lead position. Jackson got the baritone, and the rest is history, I guess.
That's awesome, man. Very good. Now, when did you join Moldy Clay? What year was that?
That was February of 22.
Okay, so you've been singing for about 4 years now.
Yep, that's right.
Well, very cool. Well, in that amount of time, I know that there's been some funny stuff that has happened on the road. Why don't you tell me a funny road story you can think of?
Oh man. Yeah, there's been a lot of funny things that have happened. I'll try to there's two that are hilarious. I'll try to not take as much time, but one, we had the bus, this is the Pine Ridge Boys, the bus was in the shop for something, you know how buses are. And we had a rented truck and trailer, and we were, making the haul going up to Ohio and then back. And so it was gonna be a long weekend. And Justin, our tenor singer now, he had went with Larry to, get the rental truck. So he was the other driver that could help Larry drive a little bit. And I don't know, it was late at night. It was late. We were going down there. I think we were coming back to South Carolina. And if I get any of these facts wrong, I'm sure Justin will send me a message when it airs and tell me exactly what happened. But we're going down the road, and I was sitting up front, and Justin was driving, and Larry, and I believe at the time it was Jackson, was in the back, and we were kind of coming around this curb, and it's gonna go straight to a bridge over this big old river, and this I don't know where it came from. This deer jumped across the middle, the like the median there, and he jumped right in front of the truck. And
Oh,
Justin
man.
kind of swerved a little bit, but I mean, you can't go nowhere. We're on a bridge. And man, I made a loud bang, and that deer got right back up and ran off. And so Larry, he woke up. He had no idea what was going on. And Justin pulled over, and they're gonna look at the damage or whatever. And I hate to say this, but I'm a type of guy. I like to have fun, and I like to kind of I kind of like to put fuel on the fire a little bit. I like to, really egg it on. So we got out of the truck. I said, "Man, Justin, you I see you swerved it directly, tried to hit that deer, didn't you?" I said, "Man, this is a rental. So you're gonna make Larry pay this guy all the damages?" And Justin's like, "No, I didn't. No, it came out of nowhere." I said, "Man, you saw that deer for a mile and you still hit it?" I said, "Yeah." Because Larry didn't see nothing. He was asleep. Larry didn't know what to think. But no,
Yeah.
Justin, he was shook up, poor fella. But no, Larry,
No.
there was no damage, thankfully. I don't know. It was a big old I don't know if it was a big old Dodge truck, so I guess it kind of ate it. But that happened one time. It was really, we still talk about it to this day, about that
Yeah.
deer crossing the bridge.
Yep.
Another one, I could be wrong. I think it was the same trip because we were in a truck and trailer. And obviously, we had all of our suits in the trailer hanging up. And we had stopped at a Love's to get gas and kind of get a drink, get a snack, whatever. And Jackson had to jump into the trailer to get something. I don't remember. I think he was changing his shirt or whatever. And I don't know. Like I said, I don't know how my mind works sometimes, but I got the idea. I'm gonna lock Jackson in the trailer.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, and I was like, you had to close a trailer, then you gotta flip the metal thingy, then you gotta put the padlock. I said, there's no way, I'm gonna be able to do this because he's standing right beside the trailer door. And so Justin and Larry start walking into the gas station. They have no idea what I'm doing. So I run back there and I shut the door quietly, flip the metal thing down, closed the padlock, and Jackson had not heard nothing. I said, "Oh, this is perfect. This is too good." So I just walk in gas station like nothing happened. I'm talking, we're just talking about whatever. About 2 minutes later, Larry gets a call from Jackson, and Larry's like, "Why are you calling me? Where are you at?" Jackson's like, "You better have someone open this door. Better have someone open this door." And Larry's like, "What are you talking about?" Larry had no idea. "Larry, what are you talking about?" He said, "Matthew locked me in the trailer." And he looks at me and I'm like, I said, "Larry, I have no idea what he's talking about." I said, "I thought he was behind me." And so we get all of our stuff. Like we don't drop everything and walk outside. Like we take our time, get our stuff, check out. We go back out. Then I let him out. And Jackson, boy, that face he gave me. And he's like, "Revenge is gonna be horrible. It's gonna be bad. It's gonna be bad." But I was like, man. And for months, I never admitted I did it. I was like, "I don't know who locked you in. As someone locked you in, dude. I don't know what happened." And then several months ago, I told him, I was like, "Yeah, that was me. I locked you in there." He's like, I knew it. I knew it." Like, who do you think locked you in a trailer, dude? But yeah, that
Yeah.
was probably the funniest because Larry had no idea what was going on. Justin didn't. But man, it was a long trip. We were stuck in a little. Well, not a little, but stuck in a truck for that long. You gotta do something to pass the time.
Yeah. And I'm glad you told that story at this particular time because that leads me directly into this question right here. I put a post on Facebook saying that I'll be interviewing you, and I asked everyone if they had any questions for you. One of the questions is this: how did you put up with traveling with Jackson Smith for as long as you did?
Well, I mean, obviously, number one thing you could do is just lock him in a trailer.
Yeah.
But no, Jackson's the type that you just never quite know what he's got up his sleeve.
Right.
He's very sneaky. He's very kind of, I don't know how to explain it. He's very you have to really watch your back.
Yeah.
And so I think it was a shock to Larry and Steve both when we first joined because the two younger guys, I mean, Jackson was 17 when he
Yeah.
joined, and I was 20. And so, you're getting two young guys and two old men, you kind of
Yep.
You got to kind of balance it. No, Jackson, he was just, he was, he had a good balance. Like he get on, you know, we go in the studio, whatever, and he could talk about arrangements or he can talk about this, that, this and that, and act like he's, you know, 45 years old. But dude, you get on that bus, you never know what's going to happen on that bus.
Yeah.
It was always an adventure every single weekend. You just never knew what's going to happen. But,
Yep.
yeah, but, I would say that's probably a good question for Larry because Larry probably has a better answer than I do. But no, Jackson was okay, I guess. I'll say I guess on that one.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Well, I know there's been a lot of funny stuff that has happened on the road, but I know there's also been some touching times where maybe the Lord used you maybe to minister to somebody at the product table or the altar, or you saw Larry ministering to somebody, or any story like that. Do you have a story like that you can share?
Oh yeah, I think it's always best to think and think back about those times because it's fun to sing. It's nice to sing new songs and sing up these bigger places and bigger events. But if you forget the main thing, then it's just all in vain. And the main thing is, we're number one doing this for the Lord. The Lord's
Yep.
gave you the ability to do it and gave you the platform. Doing it for whatever else is just not going to cut it. And sometimes you can get into a drought. It seems like a drought where you go and sing the same songs, or you go and no one moves, or nothing happens, and you think, is there something wrong with me? Is there something wrong with the group? But the thing about it is the Lord will send you people and little nods, little winks, at certain times when you desperately need them. I remember one time we sang at a church. This has probably been, I don't know, probably a year and a half ago. And it was a Sunday morning, and Larry wanted me to sing Faithful Friend, which is a song that I was able to record on the Faithful CD a couple years back, and just singing that song. And it's such a powerful song talking about how we have a faithful friend in Jesus. And I remember just singing that song, and it just felt different. I don't know how to explain it. Sometimes you get to a routine or you get in the rut of how this song goes and this is your part and whatever. But just that morning, it just felt different. It felt, I don't know, it felt more connection with the audience, with the crowd. Congregation, and we sang that song, and the man came down that morning and received Jesus as a savior. And I remember standing by the table and thinking, was it the best paying gig we ever had? Probably not. Was there 1,000 people there? No. Was it, did we sell $1,000 worth of product? No. But what made it all worth it was, that man came down and changed now that changed his life forever. And if we didn't
Yeah.
show up, if we didn't come, if we didn't sing that song, if we didn't let the Lord take over, who knows where that man could be right now. And so
That's right.
it's a surreal moment, and you just think about how, we're all empty vessels and we're being used by the Lord. And that's why you got to keep your heart right and your voice clear, as my dad says, every weekend, because you never know how the Lord's going to use you.
That's good stuff, man. No doubt about it. Very good. And by the way, that Faithful project, that's a good project, by the way. It really is.
Oh, thank you, man. We still get people like talking about it. We still sing a lot of those songs, and man, it was a lot of fun to record.
Yep. If y'all hadn't heard that project, go look it up. It's a good project. So,
Absolutely.
really is. Now, here's another question that was put on Facebook. But also, it's a question of mine as well that I was going to ask anyway. Who are a few of your lead singing influences and maybe a few of your favorite lead singers of all time? Because I know you sing lead with the Pine Ridge Boys. So, who are a few of your favorites?
Well, I think number one, and Larry and those boys are probably laughing right now. hearing this because they're probably yelling the answer. I think number one lead singer that's always been number one is Arthur Rice.
That's what I figured it was.
Arthur, like I said, that day at Dollywood, hearing him sing those songs, just that powerful lead. I mean, to this day, man, he's always, even after the Lord takes him home, he's always going to be my favorite lead singer. That number one's never going to move. I love, and you don't hear from him much. I don't know if I think he, he's with his family now. I don't think he sings anywhere. But I've always been a big David Reagan fan.
Yeah.
Man, just him on the Perrys, him on the Inspirations. Just a smooth, fantastic singer. And
Good stuff.
he doesn't get a lot of recognition because he's not out there as much anymore, but he's fantastic. I really like, if I had to go back to who's like traveling now on quartets. Man, it's hard to really dissect it. We sang a lot with the Down East Boys. Larry would drive the bus for them. And man, Ricky Carden is one of the most underrated lead singers in the industry. And the thing
He's
about
a good one.
Ricky is he's a great MC. He's a great leader because we sing with him a couple times, and Ricky always pushes Caden. He always pushes Doug. He always pushes Brandon. He never pushes himself. And but man, he is a phenomenal lead singer. He has been for years. So he's probably my favorite that's on the road right now. Ricky is. Yeah,
Good
those are just
stuff.
a few of my favorites.
Oh, yeah. The Down East boys have it going on, man, right now.
They absolutely do, man. I just heard their
Incredible.
new song today. It's good stuff.
Yep. Sure is. Well, can you play any instruments? I know you sing, but can you play any instruments? And if so, which ones?
No, I never learned. I'm left-handed. So, like I said earlier in this podcast, I get hard-headed sometimes, and so I was very hard-headed about wanting to learn how to play the bass guitar, but play it left-handed. So I bought a left-handed bass, and nothing ever happened with it. I just never really. I don't know. I never really pushed myself on it as much as I did with my voice. And but no, I'm not musically inclined instrument wise, not at all. Like I can't play anything. I'd love to, but I've just never been able to do it.
Yeah, I got you. Here's another Facebook question, and this was submitted by Josh Harl, and also Doyle Harper replied to Josh's comment and said, "Yeah, inquiring minds want to know," and that is the question is, who is your favorite tenor singer?
Oh man, I knew this question was coming, and
Yeah.
I had a couple hours, a few hours notice to think about this. Man, I always say, and people who know me have heard me say this, I feel like I'm a tenor singer stuck in a lead singer and baritone singer's body. Like if I
Yeah.
could, I know everyone wants to sing bass. The bass is the most popular. I get it, but man, if I could, I would love to sing tenor,
Yeah.
and sing it smooth. I don't know. I've always been that way. But so favorite tenors. I'm very picky about my tenors. I mean, I'm very picky about everything, but the tenors especially. Well, first off, I'm gonna push Justin. Justin Owens, the Pine Ridge Boys. He's grown a lot. In the 2 years he's been here. He's doing a fantastic job, and he's just getting better and better and better. And he's got a great spirit on and off the platform. And so I really like and respect Justin. Yeah,
Yep.
it's hard to beat Josh there on the Lefevers. I've known Josh for, I mean, years, back when he was with the Kingsmen, and
Yeah.
man, he is just a great great singer, and the Lefevres are, I think that the Lefevres are probably one of the top three quartets right now, with Daniel on the end and now Josh.
They're really
They're
good.
fantastic. Oh yeah. If I'm talking, I love another person that doesn't get appreciated as much. I love Tony Brown. They're on Divinity. He's not like your typical quartet type tenor, but man, he is a phenomenal tenor singer there in Divinity. Him and Johnny and JD, they do a fantastic job. If I'm talking about people who don't sing on a group anymore, I like to mention Steve Williams. He's sang with us. Steve was always very level-headed. He's a very good guy to travel with. Solid voice. And he's a great guy. I talked to him the other day, and he's doing great. And loved hearing from him. But yeah, there's just so many. If I start naming them all, I'm gonna get phone calls and texts about, why didn't you mention me? You know how it is. But yeah, I love tenor singing, man. There's so many good ones. I can go on and on and on and on and on, but I might just stop there.
Oh yeah. Well, you know I love the
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, I know. That's why I was surprised when you reached out. I was like, does he know I don't sing bass?
bass. Well, speaking of that, another Facebook question says this. Matthew Bailey posted this Facebook question, and he said that he saw a picture of you singing bass with Divinity Trio on a cruise last year or the year before. And he wants you to tell us about that.
Well, I actually wasn't singing bass.
Oh, you weren't?
No, we were, that wasn't the Hits Horns and Harmony cruise, Downey's Boys and His Songs. That was the first year we did it last year. And what happened was we had, that was the Lohr family that was with us. And, JD, Tony, and Jake and I are pretty close. We had talked weeks before, said, let's get a song together and let's sing it on the cruise. And we got a song together, practiced that week. And I think on the last day or day before last, we got up there and sang. But right after our song, Tony's like, hey, it was during Divinity's set. And Tony's like, hey, stay up here and sing the last song with us. And I said, well, I know. I saw, no. And he said, yeah, stay up here. You'll know the song. And so Johnny came back up there, and so I just stayed up there. But no, I was just the second baritone. I wish I could sing, if I could sing bass, I would have hit those notes, but I can't do it.
Yeah.
But no, I know that picture went around a little bit on Facebook. It probably looked like I was singing bass, but no, I was just singing a baritone. Me and Johnny were holding down the baritone end.
Well, very good, man. Love it. Here's a question that I usually ask, and I'll ask it. I know what you're going to say, probably, I think, but I'll ask it anyway. Who's your favorite gospel group of all time?
Probably the Nicholas Wilkie Singers. Are they still
Wow.
on the road? Do you know if they're still on the road or are they retired?
No, they quit pretty quick.
Yeah. Man, I don't, it's hard all time, man. It'd probably be the Kingdom Heirs.
That's who I thought.
Just that you getting that, especially that 2005 to 2011, that run, man, it's just you, there's untouchable. You couldn't touch those songs, that group. And then you get add Jerry, and then you add Lauren. I don't know how you beat it, but it would probably a close second would probably be the Perrys.
Yeah, very good.
I listened to them all the time growing up when I was little, and man, you're talking about number one song after number one song. Loved the Perrys, especially when those verses when Tracy would sing is, man, that's good stuff. But yeah, the Kingdom Hearts is probably number one, and if I would have to say.
Yep. Whenever you said verses that Tracy sang, that reminded me of I Love to Hear Him Do, This Old Sinner Testifies. He did awesome on that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that whole album, man, that was awesome. If You Knew Him, Prior to a Prayer, and Dying is a Day, and Old Fashioned Altar. I mean, that whole CD is awesome.
Well, very good, man. How about your favorite era of gospel music?
And I think, I know most people probably say, like maybe like the 80s or maybe like the 90s. But I'm just a sucker for like that early 2000s to 2010. That 2000s, man. I don't know if it was because I grew up with it, but those are the classics for me. Those were all the best songs for me came out. And but it might be a little bit biased on that one.
Well, very good. Here's something fun that I like to do. I would like you to put together a made up quartet, a made up one. So obviously this quartet you couldn't hear because they're made up. But who do you think it would just be the members of just a great made up quartet that you would love to hear if you could?
Is this a like people are on the road now today or?
It doesn't have to be. It can be people that are on the road today or people that are passed away or a mix of the two or whatever. It doesn't matter. Or still alive, but not on the road anymore, or whatever you want to do. Doesn't matter.
I would have to. Well, I mean, we'll get the obvious one out of the way. Put Arthur at lead. Oh man. I probably would put. I probably put Tracy at bass. I think I don't know, man. Tracy or Jeff Chapman. God, that's a hard choice. And then my baritone, I'm gonna have this might be a wild card here, but I'm gonna have to put Aaron Swain, the baritone.
Very good. I like
And I'm
that.
gonna tell you, and not just because I'm buddies with Darren, but I've sang with Aaron. He's filled in for us. The dude's filled in for Gold City. He's filled in with the Perrys the other week. He's sang with Justified, sang with Promised Land. He filled in for the Pine Ridge Boys. These groups wouldn't have asked him to fill in if he couldn't, lock in that blend. The dude can go anywhere and sing with anybody. He's filled in with Greater Vision. He's just awesome. He's a great singer. And so yeah, he'd be my wild card baritone. And then my tenor. I'd probably put Josh in there in my tenor.
Yeah, very good. And put a piano player with him.
Oh, Trevor Conkle, all day.
Very good. Love it. No doubt. That's a good quartet. I like it.
Yeah, man, that would be really good, I think.
Here's yet something else I like to do. I would like you to list five gospel music albums that you would have someone listen to if you were going to introduce someone to gospel music so they could get a good taste of it. So, someone that's never heard it before, what five albums would you give them to introduce them to this music?
Wow, five albums. I would encourage them. First off, I would encourage them to listen to the very first ever Pine Ridge Boys CD, No, I'll Never Be Lonely, from 63 or 60, I think 64.
I like it.
We went in and re-recorded it in 23,
Yeah.
and just those songs and the way they sang them and the arrangements, it's just quartet music into a T, and so if they were saying, hey, I want to hear some Southern gospel music, if I want to hear some quartet music, then I'm gonna show them, let them listen to that one, No, I'll Never Be Lonely with the Pine Ridge Boys. Number two, probably Redeeming the Time by the Kingdom Heirs.
Yep.
Just because that was the first CD I ever heard, and those songs, they have some of the strongest songs ever in a CD. I think, and this is probably very controversial, but I think the best lyrically, the best song ever written in gospel music is "I Know I'm Home." I don't think there's any any song. I mean, there's so many great songs, but I don't think there's any song lyrically better than that one. It's just a beautiful song, and it's my favorite gospel song of all time.
That's a good one.
But you have songs like that, and you have good quartet songs like Sermon on the Mount and Just Beyond the Sunset.
Yep.
This is it's a great CD to introduce you. That's the one I was really introduced to when I really wanted to start singing.
I
What were
used
you
to listen
saying?
to that album a lot. I used to listen to that
Oh
album a
yeah.
lot.
Yeah, I mean, I still do almost every day. I'll listen to it and I love it. Number three, I probably would do. I gotta throw a live album in there. I think a great live album. Man, there's just so many good quality live albums out there, and it's hard to pick one. But I would just say, man, I want you to go and just pick any Kingsmen live album. There's so many of them. They made several, but just pick one. Just pick one and listen to it. It'll change the whole way you think about quartet music. The Kingsmen still to this day are, laying it down. They're great. But you listen to one of those live albums and it'll change the way you think about quartet music, and it'll really fan that fire in you. Let's see, what am I at, number four?
Yes, believe so.
Number four would be, boy, you're putting me on the spot here. I don't want to name something from the same group. Man, I'm trying to think about what I listen to. That's solid, which is mostly everything. Probably the Perry CD we were just talking about. I think it's Look No Farther. Look No Further. That's the name of it. The one we were talking about with If You Knew Him on it.
Yeah.
That CD is great. Like I said, there's so many good songs on there. I love that album. I listened to the whole thing the other day. It's just fantastic. And number five would be probably, let's see here. Who should I put at number five? We're trying to introduce you to gospel music, man. Oh, you know that album? What was it? It was it called From the Radio Days or whatever the Cathedrals came out with?
Yeah, Radio Days, I believe it is. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that album, and that's Cathedrals. You can't go wrong with them. So I probably would do that one as my five.
Excellent. That's a good list. Love it. Very good. How about this? If you could sit at a table and chat with any gospel music personality that you never got the chance to meet, who would it be and what would the conversation be about?
Wow. There's certain people you listen to, and you're like, man, I would have loved to have met them. I would have loved to be able to sit down and talk to Glenn and George.
Yes, sir.
I never got the opportunity to. Larry has told stories before when he was in the Singing Americans about me talking to them, and just hearing them sing is one thing, or listen to them on a live album, but just being able to sit down and talk to them and just ask them. They're on the road for so long, and no doubt they miss so many things in life and with their family and stuff, but they were doing it for the Lord. And I just like to talk to them and ask them, like, what can advice can they give me to help me, to give me longevity, to do this? Because I don't want to get till 30 and then it's like, oh, I'll just do something else. Like, I want to do it for the long haul. And so I would just sit down and talk to them and just try to listen. I wouldn't try to do a lot of talking. I would just try to listen and just try to learn from them and see what I can get, some what good advice I can get from them. But yeah, I'd love to talk to them. I'd love to have talked to Tracy. The only time I was able, my first NQC was 2017, was the first time I went to NQC. And I vividly remember, I don't even know if she remembers this, but I vividly remember going to the Perry's booth and I talked to Libby for a little bit and I asked her how Tracy was doing, and she told me that he was doing good. He was resting today. And but never had a chance to talk to him, never got a chance to sit down and talk to him. And but man, I would have loved to talk to him and chatted
Yep.
up with him a little bit.
Oh yeah. Very good. Yeah, I got to meet Tracy, but it was I got to meet him probably two or three times maybe after his stroke. I didn't get to meet him before his stroke, unfortunately, but I did after his stroke, and I'm glad I got to. So.
Oh yeah.
Now, do you like any other kinds of music besides gospel? And if so, what genres?
I do have a little bit of a bluegrass kick. I love listening to groups like Dole Lawson, and I'll listen to a group that they haven't traveled in I think like 11 or 12 years now, but I love to listen to Flat Lonesome. Back when we actually saw them live in Tennessee, but they were just a great singer, great band there. Love listening to the King James Boys. Some people probably don't know who they are, but they're a good gospel bluegrass group, and they're fantastic players and singers. And I like to listen to those kind of groups because, like I said, I was never able to play instruments, so I like to, I like to watch people play and sing. It always makes me happy. I look at something that I cannot do. I just like to watch it. So, but I love bluegrass. So every once in a while, I was like, I'll take like a little break, and I'll go down the road or whatever, and only listen to bluegrass, and it's nice. I enjoy it.
Very good. Well, man, I have two more things for you, all right?
Okay.
First one's called the Fast Five. What this is just five simple questions that you can just answer just a simple answer to. What is your favorite food?
Any sort of chicken.
Very good. How about your favorite dessert?
Cheesecake.
Excellent. How about your favorite TV show?
Oh man, TV show. Old timey's Andy Griffith. Right, like nowadays, I don't really watch much TV. Yeah, we'll just stick with Andy Griffith. That's a good standard answer.
Yeah, I was about to say you can just stick with Andy because that's my favorite.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
That's my favorite show of all time. How about your favorite vacation spot?
Man, probably in February when we go on the cruise down there in the Caribbean. That's awesome. Love that.
Very good. And last but not least, how about your favorite Bible verse? And tell me why it's your favorite.
My favorite Bible verse is Ephesians. It's in Ephesians 5:13. It says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody into your heart towards the Lord. I might have not exactly got the KJV version of that, but it's been a while since I quoted. I think it's 5:19, not 5:13. But it's been my favorite verse. It's something I've always held on to since I've started traveling, because just trying to keep my mind on the right thing. And as we're singing spiritual songs, hymns, making melody in your heart to the Lord. That's all we're trying to do, is we're not trying to make someone happy. We're not trying to get money out of people. We're here to worship and use our gifts for the Lord. So that's why it's my favorite verse.
Very good, man. Sounds good to me. And last but not least, my last question for you is, if you were leaving Earth tomorrow, what do you think would be the last song that you would sing for the world?
Last song, man. It probably would be a song that I'm able to sing every single weekend, and off of our last hymns and classic CD, and that is "The Blood Will Never Lose Its Power." Just
Amen.
because, if I was to leave tomorrow and go to heaven, I want people to understand, people to know that, you know what? Hey, 2,000 years ago, when he was hanging on the cross for you, that blood was flowing freely. And that blood still flows freely. And if you accept him today, that blood still has its power and he can wash away your sins. So that would be that's the
Amen.
number one message, and always will be the number one message of what Matthew Benton does and what the Pine Ridge Boys does.
Man, that's good stuff. No doubt. And man, I appreciate you being on with me, man. It's been fun.
Yeah, man, thank you so much for inviting me on here. I had a good time.
Yeah, man. Glad to. Thank you so much for doing it. God bless you, man. Have a
Yeah,
great
man.
day.
You too.
All right. Bye-bye.
Right, bye-bye.
Well, I hope you enjoyed this week's interview with my friend Matthew Benton. If you would, please share this interview with your family and your friends, whether it be by text or Facebook or whatever the case may be. And that will be much appreciated. Please tune in exactly 2 weeks from today for another great interview right here on the Southern Gospel Conversations podcast. Thank you so much.